We were elated and went through the chow line, grinning and thanking the messmen. They were the friendliest bunch I ever saw and made us feel like adopted orphans. The sign may have been made earlier for 3rd Division Marines who liked the CB's food as much as we, or it may have been put up for our benefit. In any event, we appreciated the good food and good treatment. It strengthened our respect for the Seabees. The 3rd Battalion 5th Marines had been in the assault waves at Peleliu. Therefore, in the Okinawa campaign, we were assigned as regimental reserve. For the voyage to the island, consequently, we would be loaded aboard the attack transport ship, USS McCracken, instead of LSTs. Such APA transports sent troops ashore in LCVPs, small open landing craft known as Higgins boats, rather than amphibious tractors. One afternoon following landing exercises and field problems, our company returned to the beach to await the return of the Higgins boats that would pick us up and return us to the ship. Late afternoon sunlight danced on the beautiful blue waves, and a large fleet of ships stood offshore in Sea Lark Channel. Dozens of Higgins boats and other amphibious craft plied from the ships to shore, loading Marines and ferrying them out to the ships. It looked like some sort of boating festival, except that all the craft were military. One by one, the Higgins boats picked up men, about 25 at a time, from our beach area. We waited as the sun sank low in the west. The ships formed up in convoy and moved past us parallel to the beach. We had no rations or extra water, were tired from day-long maneuvers, and had no desire to spend the night on a mosquito-infested beach. Finally, as the last ship showed us its stern, a Higgins boat came plowing through the spray toward us. We were the only troops left on the beach. The coxswain revved his engine, ran the bow of the shallow-draft boat up on the beach, and dropped the bow ramp with a bang. We clambered aboard, and someone yelled the customary, "Shove off, coxswain, you're loaded." We held onto the bulwarks of the boat as he raised the ramp, reversed engines, turned, and headed out at full throttle toward the disappearing ship. The sea was rough. As usual, Snafu started getting seasick, so he lay down on his side on the deck of the boat. We were crowded. Two machine gun squads and 2 60-millimeter mortar squads packed the Higgins boat, along with all our combat gear, small arms, mortars, and machine guns. A Higgins boat, like any powerful motor-driven boat under full throttle, normally settled down at the stern end with bow elevated and moved easily over the water. But our boat was so loaded with men and equipment that even though we crowded as far back in the stern as possible, the squared-off bow ramp wasn't elevated sufficiently to skip over the waves. It drove straight against some large waves, and water poured in through an open viewport. Usually, this 3-foot by 2-foot panel rode well above water level. The coxswain yelled instructions to close the folding steel shutters on the panel, which we did as quickly as possible. But water still sprayed over the bow ramp and in through the cracks around the panel.